if I introduced to you Mr. Michael Veazey.
Hello and welcome to Amazing FBA. I'm your host, Michael Veazey, and this is episode number 9. And things are really beginning to take off now. The Facebook group is growing like crazy. If you'd like to be part of that, I mean, it's extremely small right now. We've got about 70 members. So I say growing like crazy. That's growing in about 4 hours. So go to the show notes for this episode and click on the link and put in a request to join the group. It'd be lovely to see you there. It's going to be a very vibrant community. It's already taking off. This episode is part 4 of sourcing. I was originally going to split that into just 3 parts, but it's become clear that it's a lot of detail to put in. So I split it up so that you don't go crazy and that you've actually got something you can absorb in a reasonable short time of frame. I don't know about you, but I listen to podcasts when I go running. So I find that 20 to 30 minutes is a perfect length. So I hope you're finding that as well. As ever, if you've got feedback for me, come back to the blog, amazingfba.com, and let me know. Any questions, and particularly I think sourcing is an area that throws up loads of questions because it's so complex, amazingfba.com/ask. Please leave a voicemail. I'd love to have a question and an answer episode, or at least a segment of each episode dedicated to question and answer. So do give me all your questions. This episode is based on the final part of the sourcing process, which is negotiation, finishing, and the paperwork or documents that you need to get exactly correct, and then the whole area of freight and how to handle that. I touch on the areas of warehousing and inbound shipping, so a warehouse that receives your goods, but I'll get into that in the next episode in detail. So it might be okay. So I'm going to talk now about negotiation, paperwork, and final payments. Obviously, all these things, the quality control and the payment method and the 30-70 split are all linked up together, really. So you want to negotiate the final MOQ, as in minimum order quantity, price, payment terms, delivery terms. All of that needs to be done before you send the purchase order. Just bear in mind that if they've stated a price, for example, $2.50 a widget for 1,000 widgets, then you can probably ask from order quantity, oh, I don't know exactly, but 20-25% of that. So maybe a quarter or even a fifth of that. And you could probably say, well, would you do $2.50 if I order just 200 units? And they'll probably say, for that, it'll be $2.80 or something. But you might be able to come back to them and say, well, you said $2.50 for 1,000, so I'm sure you can afford to make it for $2.50 for 250. And then they'll either agree or possibly compromise. It's always worth asking for what the price is for a highest quantity and then coming down in the quantity. Bear in mind, the price may not come down very much between high and lower quantities because, as I mentioned before, they normally are working at cost price or very close to. So then the payment terms, we talked about 30% deposit and then 70% balance is standard. Manufacturing generally starts on receipt of deposit, so speed of transfer of money matters because you've already spent weeks or possibly months getting to this point. So you want to keep the whole thing moving, right? Because the quicker you get manufactured goods sent to Amazon, the quicker you can sell them and get money coming back in. So speed of transfer matters. That's why I would suggest using a currency exchange expert. Like I said earlier, you talk to your bank, talk to them and talk about the timescales. If you have China inspection in place, as I said, I sincerely suggest that you do if you can possibly do it, and I'll put links in the podcast show notes, then make the 70% balance contingent on passing quality control at a specified level, and you want to put that in your purchase order. So now let's talk about things like purchase order and paperwork. The ideal order of play is something like this. You send an email, then you sort of lay out your specifications for all the things we've discussed, really. So the minimum order quantity, the price, so not minimum, just the order quantity, the price, the payment terms, delivery terms, cost of freight, and any other things like bank charges that you've agreed to pay for them. Then ask them to send you a pro forma invoice. This is like a draft invoice, hence pro forma or PFI. And it should contain all that information and check it carefully. Make any revisions you want. And then when you're ready, you send your purchase order or PO. This is your binding commitment, so double check it carefully. A couple of things you want to make extremely clear on the email, and I would put them on the purchase order in addition. One is you want a clear delivery address, which includes the warehouse address that you're getting it sent to, make crystal clear, really, really clear to the Chinese that your company's registered address in the UK is absolutely not the address to which you want to have things delivered. I just had an example this afternoon of why it's that important. I've had a supplier that's already delivered a sample to me in the UK to my home address, which is not the same as my registered company address, as it happens. Then they've sent 200 units before to my warehouse in the USA. And I just asked them on an email without spelling it out in crystal clear English, without putting a purchase order in, that I wanted it sent to the same warehouse that they sent it before in the USA. And then they've just sent me a pro forma invoice which stated my UK residential address, which is like a double fail. Not only is it not a business address, it's in the wrong continent. So they are capable of messing just about anything up if you don't spell it out. So don't assume anything in China. Don't assume any common sense. Just spell everything out. Be polite, be super polite, but spell every single detail out. And don't assume anything when you've dealt with a supplier for the second or the third time either. Spell everything out each and every time. So make sure that you check it carefully. The other thing you want in the purchase order is your account number with DHL. As I suggested, you need to open an account with DHL, or if they use FedEx, open a FedEx account. If they use UPS, open a UPS account. That's important so that if DHL wants to pass on US customs costs to you directly, or UPS or FedEx for that matter, if the freight company wants to pass on US customs costs to you, they can do so via their account and there's not a blockage. The other thing you want to get is an EIN number, which I think we've mentioned before, the importer's number, basically from the US Customs. So go to the US Customs, and again, I'll put a link in for that. And you want to get that stated on all your paperwork on the commercial invoice. So the commercial invoice itself is a very important document for getting things through customs and through the freight supply chain, basically. So you need to ask your supplier to print one copy of the commercial invoice for the outside of every single carton they send you, which is a shipping carton, and one to go inside every single carton. So if you're getting 10 cartons, for example, you want to get one copy of the commercial invoice inside each one and one on the outside, so there'll be 20 copies in total. And the commercial invoice needs to include the consignee address, which is you, the destination address, which is your warehouse, the EIN number for your company, the DHL account number for your company, and any other contact information, your contact telephone number and email, the contact telephone number and email of your warehouse, and just about anything else you can think of that will make things easier to deal with, especially in the event of a problem. So your commercial invoice is a very, very important document, and your purchase order is basically the document from which your supplier should create the commercial invoice. So check your purchase order really carefully before you send it off, and then ask the supplier to send a copy of the commercial invoice and check that really, really carefully, because that's going to be the final bit of paperwork that will get it through customs or cause massive delays as well. So those are the basic things you want to have on there. The value of the goods as well needs to be on the commercial invoice. Make sure that they have put it at the cost price. And the final thing on that is to keep it under $2,500. Very simply, that if you go over that figure, the US Customs will then count it as a formal import as opposed to informal import, which is a very strange term, but that's what they use. And that means it's more expensive, there's more paperwork, it's more liable to get stopped, there's more problems generally. So just make sure that doesn't happen. When you send your first order through, it's likely to be smaller and therefore is likely to be under that amount. So that is something you might want to, if you want to massage the figures with your supplier in order to keep it under that, but that's not the true figure, that's up to you. I'm not saying you should do that, but it has been done. But the main thing is keep the declared value, as they call it, of the goods on the commercial invoice under $2,500. Okay, so that's the paperwork side, and I can very easily, because paperwork involves visual things more than auditory, you know, listening type things, I can put samples of those things on the blog, and just let me know if you want me to do that. Of course, as ever, this is a great moment at which to ask any questions, and I'm sure that if anyone's listening to this and actually doing this seriously, they're going to have questions. I cannot cover everything. So if you're actually listening to this and you're serious about the business, please get in touch and ask questions. I'm very happy to answer them all day long. And if I don't know the answer, I'll either go find it out or I'll get in touch with an expert who does know it. So amazingfba.com/ask is for questions, or put a comment on the blog under the relevant episode. And if you've checked the show notes and you can't see the answer there, then I'm very happy to get into more detail there. So once you've dealt with all the paperwork, you've decided how you're going to transfer the money, then you need to arrange to send upfront. You'll typically wait 10 to 14 days for manufacture, but you should know what that is. You should have talked about it to your manufacturer before you place the order. And if you don't know what it is, don't place the order before you know how long the lead time for manufacturing is supposed to be. And again, specify the delivery date of goods to the factory date gates. Make sure you specify that in the purchase order. Don't leave anything to chance. Spell everything out. So once you've done that, you've waited your 10 to 14 days, whatever it is, you get your inspection done and you send the balance of payment if the inspection goes well. Then you wait typically 5 to 7 days for the international shipment to go across. It could be as quick as 3 days sometimes. And then the international payments will affect how quickly that happens as well. So Metrobank that I use takes 7 days. So I tend to not use them. Smart Currency Exchange or World First tend to do exchanges within 24 hours. It can then take another 48 to 72 hours to get through the Chinese banking system, which, like everything in China, isn't always ultra efficient. So once your goods have been inspected, it could be that there's another 2 to 3 days delay between that and you agreeing to send the money and the money arriving at the Chinese suppliers. And then another 3 to 5 days for the goods to get delivered by freight. So that's why I would say allow 7 days between the end of inspection and your products arriving in the USA. Now, when I say arriving in the USA, they are going to arrive first and foremost at the US customs, not just straightforwardly to a warehouse in most cases. So that is something I want to talk now, is just a bit about the whole freight thing and customs as well. Okay, so freight from factory to Amazon. Before finalizing negotiations, include your customs costs in your cost calculations. And I'll probably put up a little spreadsheet at this point because you've got pretty much all the information you're going to need to make some pretty good, accurate financial calculations. So you've got to think about the duty, and I'll put a show notes thing in a connection to the US customs site. Sometimes it can be as much as, say, 6%. I've got one item that attracts 6.5% customs duty. Sometimes it's nothing. Then you've got the costs of getting through customs as well. And then if you're using a customs broker, you've got their charges as well, which you may or may not choose to do. If you're going with DHL or FedEx, then you shouldn't need a customs broker, but it can be safer to use one on your first trip through. That's something you need to just look into. I used Western Overseas Corporation for my first import because I wasn't certain about the whole customs thing. I was quite glad I did, but they didn't actually need it in the first instance. The second and third orders I put through, I didn't need them, and that was fine. And then the fourth order, I did need a customs broker because my supplier had taken upon himself to choose a non-standard freight carrier. So if you find yourself in that situation and you're worried, then a customs broker may not be a bad investment. So do some calculations of that as well. The main thing is, if you're going to use a customs broker, just take account of the costs of that in all your cost calculations as well. Just going to reiterate for one final time, avoid at all costs using any non-standard courier because it will require a customs broker. It's more expensive, it's more complex, it takes more time. Only accept DHL, FedEx or UPS and ban your supplier from changing freight carrier. Again, you can put that into the purchase order and you can make it very clear that it's only acceptable to use the agreed carrier. Then you should ask your supplier to get notified when the products are manufactured and then when they're shipped. Get a tracking number and track it. Don't assume anything, check everything. And again, if your supplier knows that you're checking everything, they're more likely to be organized and not randomly delay sending your shipment off because, for example, they got a much bigger order in the night before, which happens every day of the week. So you just need to be that polite but awkward customer that gets the best service. So when your products get to the USA, keep your telephone or your Skype number on and be willing to be contacted by DHL, etc. for any issues. DHL should pay your fee upfront and then invoice you, but it might not work that simply. It seems to be slightly random who deals with it, exactly how it works. You'll need to have your DHL account on the paperwork as well as your suppliers to check the product is through the customs. So again, there's a difference between the small courier versus DHL, etc. So yeah, stick with DHL. if you need to employ a customs broker, then at this point they should be handling things. But again, make sure you've got a clear line of communication open with them. Bear in mind that America is, on the West Coast anyway, 8 hours ahead of the UK if you're shipping things to LA or Portland or somewhere on the West Coast. So you may well need to be willing to be up late to catch phone calls. But if I were you, I would stay up till 2 a.m. You do not want to be worrying in the middle of the night about your products and what's going on with them because you've refused to put your phone on in the evening. Your decision, but I think occasionally you're going to have to work early or late on this business, and that is one of the key points. You want to check in with a warehousing facility if you think it's cleared customs to see if they've received the goods yet. And then if you haven't had product testing done in China, you'll want to get your warehouse to do the product testing once it's arrived there. And even if they're not doing product testing, the very least they should do is inspect a few random units for damage in transit on freight, and also check the packaging as well. So the inner packaging, the inner boxes and the outer boxes, all the cartons. At that point, also, if you have inserts that need to go in, for example, instruction manuals or something like you want them to join a warranty activation or something, which is something I use in order to catch people's email addresses, then you might well want to have those put in the USA. Obviously, again, labor is much, much cheaper in China. So going forward, I'm going to start getting things like that done in China. But if you haven't done that already, then your warehouse in the USA is one place to do that. And then if you need to get FNSKU labels stuck on, FNSKU basically means the sort of internal Amazon product code, and it comes in the form of a barcode with a little description as well. So if your supplier has not built that into your packaging, then you need to get that stuck on there, or you can get it stuck on by Amazon. Either's fine, but don't send products into Amazon where you haven't asked them to stick on products. And the next stage where we deal with Amazon, and we'll deal with product listing creation next, and that will also deal with importing goods to Amazon, as it were, inbound shipping to Amazon. But basically, you will need to make sure that the FNSKU labels are dealt with. Again, I'll put little show notes that deal with a glossary of what is FNSKU and what's the difference between that and an ASIN and an SKU and all that. There's a lot of abbreviations knocking around Amazon, but you just need to get clear about what they are, and then they're not so terrible. And the final thing you're going to do is to get shipping labels created on the Amazon system. And I'll get into this in more detail in the next podcast, but I just want to sort of complete the process of freight. So you'll basically ask, you'll create a shipping plan and you'll ask UPS to handle inbound shipping, which is incredibly cheap. It's 50 cents per pound of weight, which is whatever that is, $1.20 for a kilogram or something. It's extremely cheap, amazing, because they'll send it anywhere in the US that your Amazon warehouse is. And you basically send those shipping labels off to your warehouse, and they will use those to stick on the cartons. UPS will pick it up. If your warehouse is any good, they'll arrange a pickup time and date with UPS, and voila, your product should end up in Amazon. Amazon will receive them, and then you are in business to actually sell. So I'm sorry this has been quite a long and detailed podcast, but there are a lot of details to deal with at this particularly crucial juncture of sourcing from China and getting the paperwork right, and the details of the money flow and the exact details that you put on the paperwork is very, very important for getting it through US customs. And also, if you set the situation up right, shall we say, then you are going to get much better quality from the Chinese from the very beginning. And that will not only save you money, but it will set up the relationship for the future so that you get taken more seriously, you get better quality. And also it means you minimize quality issues in Amazon and you don't get penalized by Amazon or by Amazon customers giving you 1-star or 2-star reviews. So it's all really, really worth taking trouble over. It's an area of extreme detail, so please ask any questions you've got about it. AmazingFBA.com/ask. You can comment on the blog underneath each individual episode. Which is a great way to interact about these things. Or if you have any more general questions that aren't yet answered by any of the episodes, then just go to amazingfba.com/ask and leave a voicemail and I'll answer it on the podcast. Don't forget, we now have a Facebook group as of about 4 hours ago. So go to facebook.com and then search for Amazing FBA. And if you want to join the group, it's a closed group, so I have to approve you just to avoid spammers making life miserable. So it attains a really high quality and worthwhile place to be. Then just look for me, Michael Veazey, V-E-A-Z-E-Y, and send me a friend request and just put a little note saying that you are an amazing FBA listener and that you'd like to join the Facebook group, and I'll friend you and then I'll approve your request to join the group. So that's it. All quite exciting stuff. You've now moved on basically through the by far the hardest part of the process. And if you've got this far, then congratulations. If you're actually following the action steps, then go check the blog for all the details, because there's lots of detail, and I'll make sure I over the next 2-3 days I put some detailed show notes. And yeah, just the next thing is the great moment where you actually get your product listing up and you get photographs up and you get your listing live and you start selling actual product. So in the next episode, then we'll be talking about getting a great product listing up, which is not that strenuous compared to sourcing. It's a walk in the park, but it is really important to get it right. So that's kind of a fun episode, really. So go make yourself a cup of tea and make some notes from this podcast. I know there's a lot to take in, and get in touch if you've got questions. Otherwise, I'll speak to you in the next episode. Have a great week.